our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear saints, our Lord has blessed us this morning in amazing ways. He has caused his majestic voice to be heard, and from it we do have gladness of heart. As the daughter of Zion, the church, made into the perfection of beauty by our bridegroom's sacrifice, Christ's crucifixion, we've been blessed today with a reminder of Jesus' faithfulness to us. You see, marriage is far bigger than a man and his wife. Matrimony is a universal testimony of Jesus' relationship to the church. It's a confession before all men that the man is covenantally committed to his eternal bride, Jesus, to the church. God established marriage for this reason. It preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way, George. You've been preaching Jesus for 50 years, brother. 50 years. We heard in detail how God instituted marriage for our benefit and our blessing. How a man and a woman were brought to be together. That it wasn't good for man to be alone. That he needed someone to be with him. And it wasn't by their own will. The first man and the first woman were being organized, brought together, united by the active work of God. And as we acknowledge the Lord's presence in the covenantal relationship between husband and wife, we were also reminded that marriage involves the public pledging of oneself to another. That's sacrificial love. And Jesus is the poster child for sacrificial love. The perfect man laying down his life for his bride. And we recognize that this public acknowledgement, this public pledging, this vowing or reaffirming this morning of a vow happens before God and before a congregation of brothers and sisters, witnesses, participants, really, in the binding union. All of us hold each other accountable. All of us walk with each other. That's why marriages and anniversaries, things like what you saw this morning, happen in a public setting so that all can acknowledge it happened and can say, George, Raylene, you made a promise. Oh, stick to your word. Or as George and Raylene, after 50 years, can say to the next young whippersnappers, you can do it. It can be done. Don't let the world tell you the lies. Stick to it. The Lord is with you. Oh, how this does stir up the heart, doesn't it? To make ready the way for our Heavenly Father's only begotten Son, our bridegroom, who has restored us, enabling us by His coming to serve God with pure minds by serving our neighbor with Christ Jesus. Our God comes, as we heard. He does not keep silence, as you yourselves said. He gathers the faithful ones who made a covenant with him by the sacrifice of Jesus, Christ and the Christian united, Savior and the saved, brought together in wedded bliss. That's what being a part of the church is. It's being united to Christ. The Lord has used George and Raylene's affirmation of holy matrimony to impress upon us what it means to keep one's promise. And most importantly, that Jesus, our bridegroom, keeps his promise to his church. He is a man of his word, the word made flesh, the Logos. He will return just as Malachi recorded, as we heard in the Old Testament. For behold, the day is coming, says Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. The day is coming, and like the kids, we know to cock-a-doodle-doo when we see it rise, when the sun shines on our lives and the Lord returns. As Jesus says, there will be signs, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But while the world rejects the majestic voice of the Lord, and has chosen fear and foreboding, we have gladness of heart. It is good that the sun rises. It is good that we see the signs because we know the Lord is keeping his promise. While the unchurched, the anti-Christian world may prefer fear, may prefer foreboding, fainting, and dismay, we will straighten up, raise our heads, and hasten the Lord to come even quicker. Come, Lord, come quickly already. Because we know that our redemption is drawing near. It is a good day. This is why, while godless politicians, media, and our neighbors continue with their fear-mongering, distressing and perplexing the faithless, you and I come to church where we're encouraged by each other in scriptural truth that the God of hosts does look down upon us from his dwelling place in heaven and sees what's happening here. That there's no need to panic when pandemic strikes, because he has let his hand be on the man of his right hand, the strong hand, the Son of Man, whom he has made strong for himself and therefore for us. Let the world faint, be in dismay. We will take and eat the body of Christ, and we will pass the common cup, and we will trust that heaven and earth, it will pass away, but Christ's word will never pass away. Behold, your salvation comes, and we drink it in without fear. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hope. This is what the majestic voice of God says to us in Romans 15:4. And we believe it, and we live by it and the rest of our epistle reading, glorifying God with one voice by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as will happen in a few moments, when LJ and Ruth come up front to be transferred in, as Dad answers for his family, we will welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us for the glory of God. God's economy always working. The church always growing, changing, living. Dear saints, the Holy Spirit is using both the Keatings and the Cheremies this morning to God's glory. That we all could have gladness of heart during this Advent season. We are receiving a beautiful and powerful reminder today that whoever confesses Jesus before men, that he is their crucified and risen Lord, that one will be confessed before the Father by Jesus to receive heaven as his eternal inheritance. Every day, all of you are called to answer the questions that LJ will give answer to for him and Ruth this morning. Do you this day in the presence of God acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in the triune God? And all the rest of the questions I'm about to ask him. Pay attention to those questions. Because the Christian says, as we heard George and Raylene already say to each other, the Christian says, I do. I do. I will. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.